A lot of love. Thank you. So our scripture for this morning comes again from Paul's letters. And you may be picking up on this, but our summer theme is questions. Questions that first that Paul asked, and we'll get to some questions that Jesus asked. This morning, the question that Paul asked comes from the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Paul asked this, do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wealth, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for this day, for your word. Open it. Open your scripture, these stories, these letters, that we might know something for our lives, for our faith. Amen. Last Sunday, as I was making the announcements about today, about the pictures for the Father's Day video and about baked goods for the bake sale. And I was thinking during that worship about this worship service, a little voice came to me, seriously, a little voice that said, I have a good story to tell. And sure enough, it was the voice of the father from the prodigal son. I know this sounds a bit strange, but it is how I experienced it. I had planned to preach on Corinthians passage this morning about running, about this idea of running, run in such a way to receive the prize. And then again, I heard this voice in my head about the prodigal's father who said, I know something about running. I know something about running. And so, in a prayerful and imaginative way, I want to share with you the story that I felt was revealed to me in a prayerful, imaginative way. A story of the prodigal's father's experience. And so again, I remind you that this is not in Scripture. So listen. Listen to what the prodigal's father would want us to know this morning. You want to talk about running? I'll tell you about running. Now, I know that running is not dignified or proper, not something grown men do. But when I saw my son, the son gone for years, the one I thought was dead, when I saw him down the road, still far off, as Jesus tells the story, I ran. You bet I ran. I ran to him, my robes flying, my tears falling. I ran and I embraced him. And I held him so tight I could feel his thin bones through his tattered material of his cloth, of his clothing. His skin was so sallow, you know what I mean. He was so thin that his eyes were sunk in his face. His hair was matted and he smelled like sweat and pigs and desperation. But there he was. And there I was. There I was, literally holding him up. He started to speak, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I mean, that's how Jesus tells the story. As I remember it, though, his words weren't that clear, and because he was pretty weak, but the feeling was strong. Yeah, his words were as tattered and torn as he was, but the emotion was strong and deep. And you know, I found out later that he had said the exact same thing to his mother as he said to me. And both of us said the exact same thing back to him. Hush now. There's going to be time to talk about all of this. But for now, let's get you cleaned up and get you fed. Now, remember I told you I ran to him when I saw him down the road? I ran. But on the way back to the house, there was no running. I couldn't run. I wouldn't run because my son, oh, he was so weak. It took me back. He was so weak and weary. He needed me. He leaned on me, and at times it felt like I was carrying him. Maybe that short while I was carrying him, now that I think about it. And that weight of his frail body, nothing has ever felt better. And so I got him back to the house and his mother, and we can't get into his mother's story right now or he'd be here all day. But she bathed him in cool water drawn from the well and with her tears. And she brought out the best robe, that one we've been saving, praying that he would come home. And then we ate like you wouldn't have believed. What a party. The best of everything included, you know, you heard it, the fatted calf. And now here's the thing. You might remember, or maybe not, that this son of mine left of his own free will. Not only that, he said some things before he left. Yeah, he pretty much said he'd prefer me dead. That was that whole thing about taking half of his inheritance. Yeah. Shocking. Heartbreaking. But I'm just being honest. And so when he came back and my friends heard that I was throwing him a party, they thought I had lost my mind. Throwing him a party, this one who caused you so much harm and heartbreak. And you know, on another day, I wouldn't have disagreed with them. But on this day, I had lost my mind. I found my heart, my soul, my son. It's humbling to me to think that Jesus would tell my story, to teach a lesson about God's love for each of us, all of us, to remind us that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been or how long we've been gone, that this God, who Jesus called Abba, we know his Father, will run to meet us as soon as we turn toward home, run to meet us, and then celebrate that we're back. For this child of mine was dead and is alive again, was lost and now is found, and that is worth a party. Now, before I go, you might remember I had two sons. That older son who had stayed home. We don't have time for his story today, but next week. Next week, I'm going to tell you about what happened with him, because a lot of us, I think myself included, are a lot more like that older son. So for now, though, we celebrate again that no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter how long we've been gone, God runs to us. Amen.